B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seven's Emily Pritchard is live outside Gillette with the details. Emily.
In fact, he says he is ecstatic. Cam Newton waking up in New England today, and before we know it, he will be here competing for that top quarterback position left open by Tom Brady.
As you probably know, I've been warned not to talk much.
Just one station was there when quarterback Cam Newton attempted to quietly arrive in Boston.
How are you feeling touching down here in Boston? Anything you want to say to Patriot Nation?
While Newton didn't elaborate heading to baggage claim.
No disrespect to nobody, but I'm extremely ecstatic. But I'm not talking.
Pats fans did as they share an escalator leading the new QB into town.
Welcome to Boston. Glad to have you here.
Newton grabbing his bags and heading to a shuttle bus.
And I didn't even know the whole time I'm on a flight with Cam Newton.
Shocking fellow passengers on his flight.
It's a blessing to be on a flight with Cam Newton.
At first, I didn't notice him. Like, he was wearing, like, a mask and everything. But I just saw a big dude, and I was like, oh, this guy looks famous.
All right, so the Cam Newton hype train lands at Logan last night. Channel 7, God bless their heart, is there. And Cam Newton won't say anything. As you heard right there, I think his direct quote was, I've been warned not to say much. As you know, I've been warned not to say much. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
So what do you think happened there, Maz?
Oh, I think that the Patriots put a cork in him. Totally. Listen, Cam, we're going to start camp and get serious now. Here you go. Like, I wonder if even that was part of the Patriots' approach on this. Is, you know what? The guy's going to run wild on social media, whatever. Fine. We just signed him. The hype video, fine. Bill rolls his eyes, whatever. Once everybody shows up to play football, we're playing football. Okay, we're playing football. So, Cam, when you come into town and you get off the plane, if any of those jackass jackals in the media are waiting for you down at baggage claim, and they will be, Cam, you're not in Carolina anymore. They'll be down there, Cam. When they're there, especially that Housley guy, tell them to go pound sand. Don't talk. Okay? Say it in a nice way. But if it's Housley or Barnett or any one of those guys, and in fact, there's another one who covers sports. His name's Burt Breer. Tell him to go to hell. Like, no. So, honestly, I'm not kidding. I think they told him, put a cork in it. When you come here, get out of your system, whatever you have to get out of your system. When you come here, shut your mouth. We're going to play football.
Yeah, I mean, my sense is they said that right up front. My sense is they said it on day one. My sense is Cam Newton knows it, but he can't help himself. And this is sort of, I find, you know, like, the team is so controlling and Bill's so sensitive to what these guys say in the media and so worried about it and tries to control it so badly. And so Cam Newton is told to zip it. They're not going to do a press conference to announce the signing, I guess. You know, they haven't done one yet. I guess they're not going to do it or, you know, who knows? And it's like they're just trying to control the whole thing. And I feel like saying to the Patriots, guys, the ship has sailed. The horse has left the barn. He's already blabbed. He's already gone and done. He's already called out the opponents that passed on him in free agency. He's already mentioned how Bill Belichick is going to mesh with him. He's already mentioned the plays that Josh McDaniels can call for him. And it's like, you know, either take away his phone and tell him no more nonsense on social media or do a press conference for crying out loud. Like, what are you so afraid of? Like, you know, you think that by not having a press conference, you're controlling the narrative and that's the Patriot way. It's too late, Bill. It's too late. He already mentioned his relationship with you and the plays that McDaniel should call for him. And he went down the list and said, well, they passed on me. They passed on me. They passed on me. He's already calling out the teams on your schedule and giving them, you know, what you would consider extra motivation. The horse has left the barn, pal. You know, you not letting Cam Newton do a press conference really doesn't do it. We've got all the material we need is what I'm saying. So it's like, it's just a little silly. It's just a little silly. Why don't you just do the Zoom call like a normal human being? He ain't going to say anything there. He's smart enough to know. he's smart enough to know that he shouldn't say anything to the local media, the TV media, at a press briefing at the airport or on a Zoom call, you know, underneath the Patriots banner. He's not going to say anything there, but he doesn't have to say anything there because he's already said it. And so I guess my point is the horse has left the barn. What are you obsessing over?
I mean, some of the stuff that is out there already is like, you know, him talking about how he's taking numbers or names, you know, really those teams in the league that passed on him and didn't want to sign him. That, and this is typically not the stuff the Patriots want to do, right? I wonder, I mean, again, you tell me, does Bill, once you show up, does Bill look at it as, I don't want to have to answer questions about what you said, so now when camp starts, everyone bottles up?
So that's part of it.
I think he's probably given him some leeway in that, so they probably told him, look, once you're here, once you've touched down, you're in New England, you know, look, you've certainly never dealt with local media down in Charlotte like you will here, so say nothing and move on. But on your own time, when you're away from the team, I know you like to be all over social media, you're all over Instagram, you enjoy the everything of being that comes with being an NFL superstar, so you can still do that. But once you're here, you shut the hell up. But otherwise, be you, Cam, because that's part of being Cam Newton.
I just can't fathom that they're okay with Cam Newton being Cam Newton the way he was in that Odell Beckham video. And again, Jimmy, the cut you played it too, I don't know if the simulcast has the same cut, so you can sync it up if you want. I'll give you a second to do it. But this cut, you know, where he's talking to Odell Beckham about getting the call from the Patriots, and then all the things he says afterwards. And again, for any other team, this is nothing. But for here, where they're so freaking anal about it and so controlling about it, the reason they're not doing a press conference is because they don't want Cam Newton to say the things that he says here. Go ahead, roll it.
I mean, I got a call, and my agent hit me. I was, you know, no cap. I was working out. And he was like, hey, man, you know, we just got an interest from a team. I'm like, okay, cool. Who? And he was like, New England. I said, hold on. Like, how is me and Belichick gonna mesh? You know what I'm saying?
Because that was the first thing I thought.
Because it's like perception. But it also it's like this too. It's like, okay, like can we have to talk about the elephant in the room. And it's like, you know you who you coming after. And I'm like, yeah, great. Yeah. What he was, what he is great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you, Coach McDaniels, are you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now? All right. You know, and I told, hey, you getting a dog. You getting one of these ticked off dogs, too, that's like, bro. And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, who we play? That team passed on me. Okay. That team passed on me. They could have game and got me. They hollered at me. I even asked my agents, like, hey, yo, so what's up with... Nah, man, the agent act like he was like, well, we got to wait till it was this all type of, you know, issue. So I'm like, bro, you know what? I'm going to take this time with the COVID. I said, I'm going to commit to myself.
So after that, the horse has left the barn. We got it. We got what we need. Let's keep playing that over and over. So Cam Newton can, you know, say, well, they told me to shut up and you know, not take any questions at the airport, and you cannot do a Zoom call, and you can play all those things. We've already got the cut, Bill. We've already got it. He's talking about meshing with you. He's talking about the plays that Josh McDaniels is going to call for him. He's calling out the opponents on your schedule, Chargers. You play the Chargers this year. You know that's one of the teams Cam's talking about. You know, we reach out. He's like, they don't want me? Oh, they don't want me? Oh, they don't want me? So it's like he's already called out the opponents on your schedule. It's like the horse is up the barn. So like the so if you want to be really controlling, take his phone away. Good luck with that. Something tells me that ain't going to fly.
No, no way. No shot. Not in this day and age. I'll tell you what, the more I think about it, maybe you're onto something with the whole Belichick has given up on the social. You know, because really, let's go back a couple of years. I mean, this is the whole Tom versus time thing. Like, Brady put all that stuff out there,
yeah,
and team couldn't do a damn thing about it. I don't, you know, so Brady was going to do what Brady was going to do. And once you have established players in the league, I just think that, you know, now they have direct access to everybody. And so I don't know. When I think of it in those terms, what's Cam Newton doing that's any different than what Brady did?
Well, I mean, nothing. He's doing things that the team wouldn't let. I'm sorry, not the team, Bill. That Bill wouldn't like. So, I mean, it's a little different. I mean, Brady's not talking about opponents, but actually, didn't he, in one of those cuts, didn't he go in one of those episodes, wasn't he going over the Patriots' schedule saying, well, we'll beat them.
Yep, so we're 6-2 with the bye.
So they're 7-2, right? Yeah. I think he did the same thing.
He did, and not only that, in a lot of ways, remember, in some ways it was worse. Like, you know, why do I want to keep working at a place where I'm not appreciated? And again, I'm paraphrasing, but you get the idea. You know, it was... I wonder, really, like, for as much as we go off on Cam Newton for it, and I'm not saying that Bill likes it, but Brady was doing the same crap, really. He really was.
It's true. And maybe what we're driving at is that Bill's media policies are just antiquated. If you're not going to take their phone away and you're not going to prevent them from doing their crap online, it's sort of pointless of you doing the stuff that you do. You know, certainly the famous...
He gets off on kind of being a dick. I think that's what it is.
So then take the phones away, Bill. I mean, they don't care. The players don't care about Channel 7 or the Boston Herald or Boston Globe anymore. Unfortunately, you know, back in our day, Maz, they did.
Right.
Right now, the players don't. They care about their media, their social media accounts. And so they have no problem blowing those entities off. But the thing is, Bill's still an old. He still grew up in the newspaper thing. And his whole thing, like the whole thing used to be where a player would show up in the locker room and there would be a photocopied copy of something that he said in the newspaper. And so it'll be a copy of a Nick Cafardo story, rest in peace, or a Felger story or a Borges story. And it'll have the player's quote photocopied and it'll be circled. And it'll be taped to his locker and it says, go see BB. And so players would have to deal with this. They'd have to go see Belichick because of something they said to the media, and Bill read it in the newspaper. And if Bill's still operating on that, it's like, no, if you're going to let Cam Newton carry on the way he carries on online and Brady carry on the way he carries on online, you've sort of missed the mark with the comment in the newspaper from the press conference. Like, you don't really need to worry about that anymore, Bill.
Yeah, no, clearly. He's been getting his ass kicked on social media for a couple of years. You know, the whole Malcolm Butler thing and everybody loving the Instagram posts and Danny Amendola, be free.
Right, it's time. Bill, it's time to start scrolling through your phone and not reading the newspaper clippings. It's time to get with the times.
I think Bill should get Instagram.
So there's your Cam Newton reset. We'll take your calls on that. And baseball coming up right after these words.
After 5-6 weeks of football, people are feeling it. You get the Jets 4-2. That's a big game against Atlanta. And we'll pull it out. 5-2. Then San Diego 6-2.
They got the bye week, right?
They got the bye. 6-2 at the bye. If we could pull that off. Then we got two back-to-back road games.
We got Denver.
Denver.
And Oakland.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's move on and talk about Tom Brady's replacement up in New England,
yes.
Most likely. Cam Newton arriving in Boston yesterday. Let's not talk about where the mask is on the face, but the new Patriots quarterback asked some questions and simply answered, a la the Patriot way, saying, quote, I'm not talking. He's already adapting all things New England. Awesome. Nick, what'd you make of this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Cam. Cam is one of the many athletes of his generation that has correctly figured out. I know it bothers a lot of old school media people. He doesn't need the local media at all. You know how Cam talks to us? On his Instagram page. And he does it all the time. And he asks himself with respect, better questions, sometimes in the third person, than often local reporters or national reporters would. So I got no problem with this whatsoever. I feel like Cam has been Wilds as transparent as any athlete I can remember throughout this process. And it, the fact that he didn't want to talk while he was at the airport, fresh off the plane, maybe want to do a little social distancing, like I got no beef with that whatsoever, whether it's a Patriot way or just the Cam way. Not.
So Nick Wright has that right. That was from Fox Sports 1, and whoever the anchor was there has it wrong. Adhering to the Patriot way? That's how Cam has no problem blowing off local schlub reporters. He doesn't need the locals. He doesn't need that. He's got, how many Instagram followers does he have, Murray? You know, what's his...
Definitely over a million, I would imagine.
Well, he's reaching way more people on that thing, on your freaking phone, than the Nightcast or whatever they're calling that thing on Channel 7 or us or some schlubby newspaper reporter or local talk radio guy. He doesn't need us.
4.7 million followers he has.
Okay, thank you. You know, all of us combined. I don't know if we're Felger Maz might be, but, you know, who's reaching that many people? He's reaching that many people already. He doesn't. So when the Patriots say, clam up to the locals, that's not the Patriot way. He doesn't. Even if Bill said nothing about the locals, he'd treat them like gum on his shoe anyway. Because that's what they are to him. He's already got the message out on his socials. So it's like, that ain't the Patriot way. Nick Wright was right about that. He's already doing it on his social media channels, like most of the rest of these guys.
Yeah, and in fact, you know what? I think that in Carolina, he did like, he didn't do any local interviews at all.
Is that right?
Something like that. He, you know.
I'll tell you what, I think he's going to have to do the radio. I mean, I think that was part of the contract. I think it's part of. It used to be my understanding, I don't know what it is now, but that, you know, that players, well, the coach and the quarterback had to do the radio. And there was a trade there. And maybe Stu knows more, but I thought they got luxury box seats in exchange for doing the local radio, but they had to do it. Something
there's definitely
like
a salary cap violation in there somewhere.
Whatever. But I wonder if Cam Newton's going to be held to the same thing Brady was held to.
I'll tell you what, like, when you add it all up, and again, you know, he probably will have to do those. I am so glad he's here. I can't. The fact that Channel 7 was waiting for him at the airport last night, I said this to you earlier, that is old school Boston media right there. That is old school. I can't tell you how much I love that. We're going to go wait for him at the airport. The guy's going to get off the plane and see us and go, what the F is this? What is this? Welcome to Boston! Like, I cannot tell you really how much I loved that when I saw that. I went, oh my God, there we go. That is old school Boston media stuff right there. I loved that.
Next time, can we send Murray with a mic?
Yeah, that will never happen.
Oh yeah, that'll go over well.
Yeah. Right. Your thoughts. Here's Bo and Saugus. Hi, Bo. Go ahead.
Hey, good. You know, with Cam Newton as a Carolina Panther, never liked him. Cam Newton as a Patriot, I think it's an ideal bridge.
Of course you do.
Right.
This is a bridge year. And you know, the defense is the only one of the three teams that's actually together. You got a brand new kicker. You got an offense that you were going to give to basically Matt Castle on steroids. Let's take Cam Newton for a year, see what we got. You're not going to be able to coach him up. Short off season. Who knows what the Patriots are going to run for an offense? Best probability of winning is to be different.
Yeah, okay, Bo. I think you just echoed the thoughts of millions of sheep Patriots fans everywhere, which is, I never really thought Cam Newton was all that great. He bugged me as a person and a player. Like, I never had any affinity for him. He stood for everything we stood against here in New England. I'm glad we don't have players like Cam Newton on the Patriots. But now that Bill signed him, oh, yeah, no, I think it's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, aren't you hearing that everywhere?
Totally. I thought what we were going to get was Bill's playing chess. Everybody else is playing checkers.
Good God.
Same old crap over and over again. I'm telling you, now I'm eager to see how it works. Newton and the Patriots, because that is not a fit. I don't care what anybody says. They can make it one, or Bill can make it one, and so can Newton. They can make it work, but it's, you know, at its a DNA level, naturally, they are oil and water. They are not at all alike. And but I love the fact that he's here.
Zach in Milford on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Zach.
Anthony, starting rotation sucks. Bullpen blows. The former MVP just got $380 million. They don't even have a location for the Toronto Blue Jays to play. And the postseason, we don't know how many teams get in. Give me something to look forward to tonight and tomorrow, please.
Okay. Maz, go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, we do know how many teams are getting in the postseason, although I guess the owners technically have not signed off, Murray, right?
Correct.
But the players have accepted, which tells me it's going to happen.
It's all a formality at this point.
So if they, so the 16 teams is a good thing for the Red Sox. That's a good thing.
So, I mean, now you would say his comment line said expectations for the Red Sox season.
Make the playoffs.
Expectation now has to be make the playoffs.
Yeah, I would say at a minimum it is now. It changes everything. Like before, I would say make a run at the playoffs. Now, if they're not in, that's pathetic. If they're not one of the top eight teams in the league, with or without Chris Sale, given all the money and talent they have invested in that roster, they absolutely should be one of the top eight. No two ways about it.
So they should be, at the very least, the first pick in that draft, because what's going to happen is the top three teams in each league, the three division winners, are going to be the 1, 2, and 3 seed. And I'm not making this up. They're going to have then those teams choose their first round opponent. So there's going to be a show at the end of the year, a TV show, a production, where the top three teams in the American League, the division winners, I'm sorry, are going to pick their opponent. So the first pick is going to pick the eighth team, or the what they deem to be the worst team or the worst matchup on the board. The Red Sox just may be that team.
Right.
But you know what? That's fine. That's got to be their baseline expectation, that they're that team. There's 15 in each league now, right? So they got to be 8 of 15. That's all. Don't tell me that you have a payroll still plus $200 million and you can't be in the top 8 of a 15-team American League.
Oh, listen, they should absolutely be in the play. I would say at a minimum. I'm not even willing to call that a successful season. Like, you know, I would say that at a minimum they should make it now. And just think of the scenario you laid out. Let's say they do, they suck. Last year, the eighth team, I think, was Texas, and they went 78-84. Okay? So they were under 500. They would have made the playoffs. So let's just play it out. Let's say that the Red Sox are that team and the Yankees are first. Are the Yankees not going to pick the Red Sox because they're their rival and they're afraid of them?
It's pretty good. What do you think?
Oh, I'd pick them. I think they'd kill the Red Sox.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but isn't that like an interesting decision?
So
Red Sox are like the White Sox. Who do they pick? But the White Sox are better. Who are they going to pick?
Okay, Smarty Pants. So Texas, again, I have in front of me, 78-84. That's a .481 winning percentage. So let's say a .481 winning percentage gets you that last playoff berth in the American League. Out of 60 games, where do they have to go?
Oh, that's going to be what, like 27-33, something like that?
Can they go 27-33?
That's my guess. You said 481, right?
481.
I'll try to actually run it in a calculator just to make you happy.
Can you go 27-33? Can you win 27 ball games? And, you know, Eddie Rodriguez now being out and maybe being out for an extended period. He's going to be away from baseball activities for a week because he couldn't shake the COVID symptoms. So he's away from baseball activities for a week. He'll have to ramp. If he does get cleared in a week, he'll have to ramp up. Now you're maybe talking about 2-3 weeks on the shelf, which is approaching, you know, a third of the season, half of the season. So that may put him behind the eight ball, but can they go .481 for a winning percentage over 60 games, which is how many wins, Mass?
Okay, so it's between 28 and 29, but rounded up, it's 29. So they could finish with a losing record and make the playoffs.
Okay, can they do that? Can they win 29 games?
Oh, how they should be able to with the dog crap there is in baseball, yes.
We're going to get to your calls. You're still lined up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to you. And just a couple quick thoughts on some name-changing names, team names, coming up right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep 2 or 3 things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're going straight to Logan Airport where Cam Newton is live walking through the baggage claim area. I'm going to listen in, and that's Chelsea McDonald right there with him. Is he talking?
Cam, I'm so sorry to do this to you. You're live right now with Channel 7. I'm sorry. I know you didn't want to talk. Anything that you can say to Patriots Nation right now, again, you're live with Channel 7.
No disrespect to nobody, but I'm extremely ecstatic. But I'm not talking. That's pretty much, you know.
When can we expect you to say a few more words for us.
Who knows?
Excited to be here in Boston?
Go Pats. Thank you.
Thanks, Cam. Welcome to Boston.
So a few more thoughts on this, and then let's get to some developments from the day. Patrick in the car, what are your thoughts on Cam Newton? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's crazy to think nowadays that people will go on social media less and things like that as we go on. Everyone has their own production companies nowadays and anything like that. If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm looking at the guy who keeps turning a chip on his shoulder into a boulder like Cam Newton rather than the guy who is hucking his wife's or girlfriend's makeup on his social media.
Okay, so there's a shot at Jared Stidham, who's been, again, working with his wife on her cosmetic line or whatever. I think Bill just misses the whole social media thing in general. I think it all goes over his head and isn't something that he pays attention to, and so I think players get away with far more there than they do anywhere else. If you're a player, you're far better off saying something off the grid, if you will, on social media than to a newspaper reporter. Then it gets on a newspaper clipping that Bill reads, because Bill reads that crap. He reads the papers, or he did. Maybe he's finally stopped, but he reads the papers. He ain't on my face. So I don't think he cares about Jared Stidham selling lipstick or Cam Newton, you know, doing whatever. He's been overruled on all of it anyway.
Don't you think that he's got to have someone, though, tracking all the social media stuff for
yes.
him?
Yes.
He must, right? So it's got to come to his attention somehow as to, you know, when it reaches a, dare I say, a certain level of severity with Bill. Like, once it gets to, you know, tell me when it's DEFCON 2. Otherwise, I don't want to know. Like, there's going to be something like that.
Michael in Dartmouth. Hi, Michael.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Huge fan of the show. But listen, I'm on CBS's website, and they have some stats on Cam Newton from the 2018 season, the season that he had the North Turner as his offensive coordinator, and check it out here. Cam Newton, 2008, right? In the weather ranging from 40 to 60 degrees, he had a completion percentage of 67.4. Now, in games that were below 40 degrees, a.k.a. a lot of games that are going to be at Gillette, he had a completion percentage of 69. So it seems like he's basically the same quarterback, at least in terms of the completion percentage, no matter what the weather is. So, I mean, that's pretty good. I wanted to hear what you guys said.
Well, I think that it's nice that you gave me 2018. He's been in the league 11 years. So, Maz, what are his numbers over the breadth of his career?
Okay, so the career numbers, he's only played one game in what is categorized as quote-unquote frigid temperature, which is under less than 21 degrees. Okay, and his completion percentage in that game was 65.7. But the next three metrics, 21 to 40 degrees, 41 to 60, 61 to 80, I would say overall they're pretty consistent. I mean, his, you know, rating is anywhere from 87 to 89.5, basically, in that area. In fact, I would say the warmer it gets, the worse he's gotten. It looks to me like 21 degrees to 60 degrees is when he's played his best. So, you know, I don't think there's a weather thing with this guy. I don't.
Okay.
I mean, so, not a cold weather thing.
Yeah. But you never know till you see it.
That's and true. So, yeah, I mean, Brady was the best at it. He could block it out.
We'll just have to see it. Okay, here are the developments from today. There are two Red Sox developments. One is Eddie Rodriguez still feeling the effects of COVID-19. Shut down for a week. Shut down from baseball activities for a week. So you say a week off. Well, it's a week off of being off from baseball activities, which means if he's cleared in a week and he's feeling better, then he's got to spend another week or two ramping back up. So you're looking at an extended absence here from your ace, for lack of a better term. They didn't say that he has COVID or that he had a recurrence of COVID, just that he's still experiencing some symptoms. And so that is bad news for the Red Sox. Good news for the Red Sox is that Major League Baseball and the Players Union agreed to expand the playoffs today, which is so them. It's like they had three effing months. They spent 3 months negotiating and hammering each other and, you know, getting nowhere. And then we're 20 minutes before the first pitch, and all of a sudden they go back and say, all right, you know that thing that we told the, each other to go F each other over? All right, fine, we'll do it. And now all of a sudden we're back to the expanded playoffs, and eight teams per league, eight of the 15 teams, will be in the playoffs. What they're going to do is they're going to have then a drawing after the year where the top three seeds, the division winners, get to pick their opponents. And then you would say, well, how come you're not having four choose the lower four? Because once you get to the fourth pick, there's only one team left in that. If you just think about it for a second, you don't need to do four picks. You only need to do three. And so that's what they're doing. No more buys, no more one-game wild card round, which I think is unfortunate. That one-game wild card was the best thing going in sports. It was one of the few things Major League Baseball has done right in decades, and now that's gone. The format should be interesting. You know, Maz, you raised that great point about if the Yankees have the one seed, if you will, and the Red Sox just eke in with the eighth best record, will the Yankees pick the Red Sox to be that first-round opponent, or would they want to avoid that given all the historical implications? That's a good one.
I mean, look, again, because realistically, it could shake out that way. You know, the Red Sox are sort of on the line there, right? And again, I think they could have made a run at the playoffs with 10 teams in, but there's no guarantee they're going to get in. But now with eight teams, three extra spots, you tell me the Red Sox can't go 500? They go 500, they're in. And let's say they're a game or two below. Well, the Yankees could very well be the number one seed in the American League. The Yankees are stacked. Stacked. In fact, the World Series odds that I saw this morning overwhelmingly say Yankees-Dodgers. And even the Astros have faded a little, which makes sense because they lost Cole to the Yankees, right? So that's a huge shift there in the odds. So the Yankees could be one. The Red Sox could be eight. Then what are the Yankees going to do? Sit there and tell their fans we're picking the Red Sox?
Okay. There's another development. Here's two team name developments that have come up in sports. The Washington Redskins are not going to have a team name this year. Apparently not enough time to change the logoing or getting the copyrights in order with the hoarder who's hoarding all the team names. So instead, they're just going to call themselves the Washington Football Team. Which, let me tell you, I don't mind the principle of it. I just think the Washington Football Team, why don't you do what they do in soccer?
Which FC, is, yeah.
There's no team name. You're the Washington Football Club. And now you're Washington FC. And you don't even need a team name. And there's European clubs all over the world that have no team name, but they just go by that, the Washington Football Club.
Yeah, but given the pettiness of Dan Snyder, be happy he didn't do this because he would have chosen Washington Football United, which would be Washington FU. Which is exactly what he would probably
so
want to
good.
Do.
That's so good.
So, I mean, I see everybody's all up in arms about this, but really, what do you want when this guy is squatting on all these names? It's not a final renaming and rebranding. Like, this is probably as good as it's going to get for a year.
No, FC. Washington FC.
I like the FU better.
Yeah, no, and the FU is awesome. Like, that's great. Oh, it's tremendous. No, but Washington FC, and then that has a ring to it. It's something that you may not even ever change. I mean, you may not need to change it. You may not. Maybe that's Snyder's way to F you everybody and to please everybody by just saying, you know, not please everybody, but tacitly, like, you take away my team name, fine. I'm not going to give him a team name. I mean, it's going to be the Washington Football Club. But at least that sounds good, and it has a little, I don't know, we're used to that by now. Washington Football Team? How about, I don't know, like, was there a way to just, I'm with you in principle. Is there a way to dress that up just a little bit other than Washington football team?
I think there was spite involved here. He just tried to make it as, you know, as boring as possible. I would just tell people, be happy he didn't go super spiteful.
Washington FU, that's so good.
Washington FU, that's perfect. That is so good.
And then finally, Seattle's expansion NHL team finally has given itself name, logoing, everything. They are now going to be the Seattle Kraken. And their logo is pretty much an S. And I can't even, I just despise team colors that I can't tell you what the colors are. Is that a light blue and dark blue? Like, what are the actual effing colors there that I'm seeing on the screen?
And this is going to be one where we argue over, like the Cowboys uniforms, too, because I get in this argument with my wife. Like, I think it's kind of minty. It's like a mint green type of thing. And I would think that's, you want some green because of how lush it is in the Pacific Northwest.
But that ain't green. That's light blue.
Sure about that? Like, I see green.
that almost looks a little like, the one I'm looking at shows pictures of the, you know, the socks they wear, and it almost looks like San Jose's color.
But there's no green. It's light blue. But you know, but I'm sure it's, and I haven't bothered to read the whole story, I'm sure there's a name to it. I'm sure it has a certain name that I've never heard of. You know, like, so I like, is are you blue or are you, like, what are you?
One thing I do know, I think the name's great, but I want more Kraken and less S. That S looks like the S that we all drew on our books in high school, like the pointy S. But I want more Kraken. I want to see the beast.
Well, is the S supposed to be a serpent?
Yes. The S is the Kraken.
The Kraken.
Yep. So I don't like any team name that doesn't have an S. Sorry. Or, you know, Sox qualifies as an S. But I don't like the singular Heat. You know, I just don't like that. I want an S on the Magic. Like, I just think it's so nouveau garbage trash not to have an S. I'd rather be Krakens than Kraken. You know, give me an S. The team name, Maz, I think, has talked about it before. They should have been was the Sockeyes.
Oh, they should have been totally the Sockeyes. That was a way better name. But someone had squatted on that one, too. Some woman who wrote a book, right?
Is that true?
Yeah, she had a fictional team, a youth team or something that they called the Sockeyes. It was in her book, and she had trademarked it. And so I think that's why they ended up with the Kraken.
Oh, give her a few bucks and call yourself the Sockeyes.
The Kraken.
They're cracking. So I hate it because, Maz, it's so nouveau. It's like the Kraken isn't real. Like, it's a mythical sea serpent, right?
Yeah, allegedly.
Yes.
What do you mean, allegedly?
Well, that's what I hear. Yeah, I haven't actually read up on it. I can give it a rat's ass with the Kraken.
Well, no, but there's no rumor about a mythical thing. Either this is what the mythical thing is or it's not. You would say, well, no, that's just not allegedly.
Yeah, it's from Scandinavian folklore. It's like an octopus beast.
What? Okay. So they're naming themselves after something that isn't real.
Yeah, some mythical Kraken.
Some mythical, like, Harry Potter crap. There's no S at the end of the team name, and the colors aren't any colors that I can tell you what the colors are. We're debating what the colors are. Oh, I freaking hate that.
I'm looking at it again. That is seafoam green. That's what that is. That is not blue.
Okay, so seafoam green. That seafoam green can kiss my ass.
Like, seriously,
why not just be red, green, and white, and call yourself the size with it. Primary, and the team has an S name on it, and it's like, oh God, I hated it. It's so that team name. I the more I think of it, the more I talk about it, the more I despise it.
I think we should drop you. Your phone sucks.
Yeah,
is what I think.
The Kraken is editing you. Is what's
happening. Yeah, when they're playing bad, we're gonna call them the Ass Kraken.
Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. So with the return of baseball tonight, let's go into the final word archives and welcome back the grand old game with some Mad Mike and shaming of umpires.
The sources told ESPN that MLB wants a 30-second time limit for managers to decide whether or not to challenge an umpire's call.
They have more than 30 seconds right now?
Oh, yeah, that takes forever.
Oh, that's just so absurd.
I mean, they got to wait for the replay. You know, they give a little binocular symbol to the referee.
Give me a break. One look.
And then they said, MLB has also talked to the umpires union about whether it's possible for umpires in the replay center to make quicker rulings. Oh, you think? Could it possibly be possible? Speed it up, fat boy. MLB says they discussed a guideline of 2 minutes. Take a look at the effing replay, fatso. This pisses me off. You know, and they have it wrong in this story. They say, with these, umpires have long resisted having any firm time limit placed on reviews since they believe the main goal of using replay is to get as many calls right as possible. Get every call right. That's not the main goal of replay. The main goal of replay is to correct obvious mistakes that impact the outcome of the game. And somehow we've just gotten lost in this. We've got to look at every blade of grass. And I've got to watch this fapso amble over to the headset and get on the headset with some other load in the command center in New York. And it's just so asinine. The whole thing has gotten so out of control. You want to get me mad about something, it's this.
No! And the whole world knows.
Next pitch. Could it possibly be possible?
There is something about those guys being out of shape that makes it worse.
Oh, totally. Again, like, it's bad enough. You got to wait for the umpire to, like, you know, actually go through the process. It's worse to see him waddle. It's the waddling that does it. You're like, you load. Can't you move a little faster? Oh,
Jesus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.